Let's talk about it. Hello, Idiots on Parade, the Too Ugly for TV podcast. We mock the news so you don't have to. Hello, Jake.
How's it going?
All is well here. That is Jake Vevra, stand-up comedian in New York City, chugging a monster drink to wake up. I am Nathan Timmel, stand-up comedian in Iowa City. Jake, where'd you go on your honeymoon? We were off last week. Jake had a honeymoon. He went to celebrate his wedding, which happened 2 years ago. Where'd you go?
Cancun.
Cancun. Been there, done that.
Dude, it was great. Yeah, we went to Chichen Itza. We scuba dived, all of that.
Nice. Jesus, I haven't thought of this in years. All right, I have a really fast Cancun story. We went when my daughter was like 2 years old. So just a little toddler, just a nothing, okay? And there's a Walmart downtown. When you're on Cancun, if people don't know, it's a little like separated, almost island connected by bridges. So you're supposed to be safe and you're away from the gang violence and all the bad things that happen in Mexico. And I needed to go into town to go to Walmart to get her baby food or formula, not formula, baby food, something, maybe, I don't know. Either way, I had to go to Walmart. And they said,
I never actually went into town though. We just kind of did some tours. Like,
they said, get on the bus and it takes you right downtown and in a nice area, you know, before you just get off the bus, go to Walmart and then hop on the bus and just, it brings you right back to the resort central, you know, where all the resorts are.
Sure. Sure.
I missed getting off. So I think my head's on a swivel. I'm driving, I'm looking around and there are a few tourists on, but not many. I thought more people would be going into town, but they weren't. And so at some point, we pass out of downtown and I start noticing a lot of gang tags. And then I noticed that the bus is filling up and I'm the only white person on there. And then there are burned out cars and it's sort of entering a slumville. And I'm like, well, this isn't good. Well, all right. Yeah. I guess I've ridden buses before in my life. Generally, they stick to a route where you loop and come back. I'm like, I guess I'm just riding this till it loops all the way around. And this really nice woman came up and sat down next to me and she said, I don't think you're supposed to be on this bus. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of missed my stop. And she goes, it's not safe for you here.
This ain't the same Cancun. This is Can Compton.
Yes,
took one exactly. Stop too far.
And she said, let's go talk to the bus driver. I said, okay. So she walked to the front of the bus with me and she pointed at me and talked to the driver and the driver went, ugh. And so as chance would happen, as we're driving one direction, there's a bus headed the other direction. So he sort of radioed and flagged. And I literally got off the bus, walked across the street, got on the other bus and went back into town and then found Walmart. The driver, I sat next to the driver. He's like, get off here, Walmart, and then get on the number one bus that'll take you back to Cancun. But yeah, to Cancun proper. But yeah, when I was looking at the surroundings, I'm like, I'll be fine. I'm on the bus. I'll just ride it till it loops and comes back downtown. But she's like, no, you need to get off this bus now.
That, wow, yeah.
Like I said, my daughter was two, so that was 8 years ago. This is not like, back in the 1980s. This was recently where it was like, right. No, you get white boy off the bus. He will stand out like a sore thumb.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, it could have been worse, though. Instead of going into the violent part of Cancun, you could have been accidentally tricked into sitting through one of those goddamn timeshare meetings. Oh, my God. They love pitching timeshares. Like everybody down there was trying to sell you a fucking timeshare.
Did you do it?
No. Here's the thing. Amy went down there a couple times with her best friend, you know, and she told me some horror story about she's like, okay, right when you get off the plane, everyone's going to swarm you trying to get you to listen to their timeshare thing. But they don't just pitch it as like, hey, come listen to me sell you a timeshare, because like, who the fuck would do that? What they're going to do is they're going to pretend that they're with your hotel. They're going to be like, what's your name? You know? Oh yeah. Were you right? Were you here? Oh. We're going to give you a complimentary breakfast and we're just going to hear you. Well, we're going to give you a quick overview before we take you to the hotel about, Cancun and Mexico and blah, 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 blah. And they will have you sit there. She said her and her friend sat there for like 5 hours while they tried to pitch her a timeshare. And they're talking, they'll ask you like what you're doing on the trip. And they'll be, oh yeah, we can actually get you that for cheaper. You know, all you got to do is listen to our pitch basically. And apparently they sat there for like 5 hours until her friend just wigged the fuck out at them and went, I want to ride with the goddamn or swim with the goddamn dolphins. What is this bullshit? I don't want to buy a timeshare, and just freaked out until they got her out of there.
We did that. So we, first of all, we went with my sister-in-law. She actually bought a timeshare down there, but they got lucky. They bought a timeshare that was like a 5-year plan, not like timeshare for the rest of your life. It was, they bought it. And so the first year they're like, oh, we bought a timeshare. Second year, like, oh, this is nice. Third year, they're like, oh God, two more years of this. And so we went down with them. They said, we want to try and eat a year off. And if we bring guests and use an extra room, it takes a year off the timeshare or something like that. So we went down there and got our own room. And they said, don't do a timeshare. Whatever you do, don't do a timeshare. Do a meeting if you want something cheap. And we wanted some dolphin package at the aquarium. So my wife and I went and did the timeshare thinking, how bad can it be? It was not as bad as 5 hours. And we didn't wig out. I just got firm with them and said, we're done. We're not buying shit. We're leaving. Just give us the tickets you promised at 45 minutes and we're out of here. We did like a little like 90 minutes where it was supposed to be 45. And when we got to 90, I just said, right. no more. Let us up. But then we got to, you know, pet dolphins or something that at the time seemed cool. But then after it was over, you're like, that's inappropriate. You go see it and it's really sad. Like, wow, this is a small tank. I should have made the movie Blackfish after having that experience, because let all these poor animals go. It was just sad.
Are there gang tags on the dolphin tank? What the fuck?
That was Can Compton, as you said. That was the other aquarium.
I didn't know they had dolphins in Camp Compton too. This is crazy. Now, the dolphin smoking a fucking Newport. This is ridiculous.
Have you ever been to a timeshare?
No, but here's the thing. They tried to get us on the pitch. So we get to the hotel and Amy asked about like, hey, do you guys have a room with a hot tub or something like that?
Yeah.
And so then these guys really start going all in on the different upgrades for the room, to where I'm like, wow, they're really trying to upsell us on this room. And then they have this guy show us this one room. And then he starts going in on this pitch about, he asks us how old we are. And I tell him my age, and I'm like, all right, it seemed kind of random. And then my wife tells her age, and the guy goes, oh, you are a little bit older, so you are smarter and know about money. And I'm like, what? And then the guy goes, he pulls out a weird, almost like a golden-y $300 fake bill that's inside a plastic case, like it's a coupon, basically. He's like, I could get you this upgrade for half the price if you just have breakfast at the hotel across the way and blah, 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 blah. And at first I thought he was trying to pitch breakfast. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Because, you know, it's kind of broken English too, you know? And so I'm confused about he's going into the pitch all fucking weird, you know? Like, you're showing me rooms for a hotel upgrade. Like, you're not, I thought that's all we were doing. Then he's talking about breakfast. I thought he was literally just trying to sell breakfast. Like, oh, we have this other breakfast that's better, or that we get it at a better cost, or it's a new thing we're opening and we're trying to just get people to go for marketing purposes. I don't know. I think the guy's just talking about breakfast. And then it's clear, like, oh no, he wants us to listen to a presentation, you know? So we get down to the front desk and the guy's like, so, have you thought, will you have breakfast tomorrow? I'm like, hey, listen, this meeting, is this to sell us a timeshare? Because we're not interested in a timeshare. Oh, no, sir, it's none of my problem. No. I mean, we're not into the timeshare at all. Oh, but if you just come over for breakfast, it's like, look, we're only here for a couple days. I really don't want to do a meeting, and that's it. You know, so I just flat out nipped it in the bud and was done with it, you know? But let me ask, because you said your sister got a timeshare down there?
Sister-in-law.
Okay. So did they get it from one of these meetings? Did they, like, what was the process of them buying that? Because this is why I ask. I'm like, who is buying it from these meetings? Because I'm not saying it's inherently a bad thing to get a timeshare. If you plan on going down regularly, if you have friends that go down too, and you're sharing the time down there, hence the name, then it makes perfect sense. That said, if it was, it doesn't seem like an impulse buy kind of thing to me. It seems like if I wanted to get a timeshare, I wouldn't just sign up with any old jackass that's fucking telling me to buy it, I would like Google shit and price it out, you know?
Well, I think the selling point for them was the fact that it was a limited time share because it was, you know, a 5-year max. It wasn't for the rest of your life, which a lot of them are. A lot of them, oh, you retire here and then you pass it on to your children. And then it was through the hotel. It was an American chain like Hyatt or Marriott or something like that. So it wasn't, they knew that they had something fixed that had an end date. And then when it was done, they're like, all right, now we've done that. And they, at the time in their lives, I think they had a couple of kids and they're like, you know what? This is just easier. We'll know where we're going for the next 5 years. Yeah, I think that's what it was.
But it wasn't the kind of thing. So you said it was through an American hotel chain. So it wasn't the kind of thing where they just get flagged into a meeting they weren't expecting.
No,
I'm like, I'm trying to sit there. I'm like, who is this for? Who is going so just sort of spur of the moment that like that's not an impulse buy kind of thing. But there's so many people down there trying to sell these things that I'm like, it must be working on somebody.
Like that's the other part is there are so many of the sales meetings and so many people trying to push it. How many, like I said, it's an isthmus or a little island or an offshoot. How many rooms do they have to sell? Because at some point it's going to be, oh, you know, I want a vacation in June. Yeah, June's full, but I bought a timeshare. Yeah, but we sold your, like, it's like overselling on an airplane because that's all they're doing.
Yeah. And my thing is this, even if I really wanted a timeshare, even if I was like going to Cancun, I want to go regular, I want to buy a timeshare, I would not buy a timeshare from somebody who's fucking like tricking me into seeing the meeting for the timeshare. Cause that's, if you're dishonest enough to do that, you're going to fuck me on the timeshare. Yeah. Like if I was looking to, and that's the same deal with anything. If I was looking to buy, let's say a used car and I was just at a burger joint and a guy was like, listen, the frame broiled Whopper. I can't say flame broiled this early, but you get what I'm just saying. The Whopper is $5. However, if you just have the Whopper in this room, it's only $2.95. And then I get there and he's trying to sell me a used car. I'd be like, no, I was going to buy a used car after I ate this Whopper. However, since you're so shady about how you're trying to sell me this car, like you're tricking me into listening to you sell me the car, it's probably fucked up. Like you're dishonest enough to do this. Hence you're dishonest enough to sell me a fucked up car. You're going to be, I guarantee you those timeshares, half of them, it's like you said, there's going to be something fucked up. There's nothing in June. You want to come down here in January? Like, no, just something is going to be crazy. There's going to be weird fees. Like, oh yeah. It was only this much per month, but there's a maintenance fee and there's taxes and there's a service charge and there's a trash fee and then you fucking add the shit up. It's like buying something on eBay where it's like the thing costs 10 cents, but the shipping's $25.95, that kind of deal. I think that's going on with a lot of these timeshares. So I'm sitting here going, who is dumb enough to buy a timeshare from you fucking guys? I almost wanted to ask that, you know, but he was pretty cool about it once I was firm, you know, because like, look, I
feel he's cool about it because they hear rejection all day. So they're used to it. They're like comics.
Yeah. They're like comics. And look, my first job in New York was renting apartments, just shitty open listings and shit. So I was almost like a real estate version of that guy. And so I kind of fucking get it. And look, it feels kind of dickish at the time when you're just flat out like, yeah, hey, I'm not interested in what you're selling. Like you have to be firm with them. It fucks up their day way more. The person who just kind of sits around out of a misguided sense of politeness and just lets them spiel for 5 fucking hours and then wigs out at them and walks out. That person,
because they could have met with other potential victims.
Exactly.
They don't call them victims, but you know, clients.
Yeah. Oh. Did I say victims? I meant clients, sir. You could be looking for a real mark, not me. And so I mean, there's dickish ways to do it, and there's nice ways to do it. I mean, you have to be firm, but kind of do it. Hey, look, man, I'm just not interested. Like that's how you do it. Hey, look, I don't want to buy a fucking timeshare like that. You don't need to go to that level. But they know, like they know a hard no, and they'll try one more time to a hard no, and then you give them another hard no, and they're fucking done.
Well, the other time we did timeshares in Florida too. We went down, and my mom got us roped into this one. She said they had a hotel room, and they were able to get a second one, and said, if you sit through a timeshare, you get 2 adult price tickets to Disney. And so we're like, all right, well, that's a deal. We'll pay for the 2 kids tickets, and Lydia and I will get 2 free tickets to go to Disney. And the presentation's an hour. And again, it ended up being like 90 minutes, which is not too bad when you're dealing with a couple hundred dollars worth of Disney tickets. But so what they did, first of all, this was cool. This guy could write upside down. As he'd lay the contract on the table, and he'd sit there like, well, see if you sign here. And he was writing upside down. That's how often he did it with the people across from you. And you're like, well, that's...
When you say writing, is he just like making arrows pointing to things?
No. Or? He was writing words. Like I'm facing him, he's facing me. And he would like have the contract facing us. And then he would write words like, see, you fill in your name here. And we actually stopped him and said, that's really impressive. He's like, well, I've been doing this a long time, like having the contracts facing the client. So what happened that day was we sat through it.
Talent wasted on fucking nothing. You know,
Actually a decent pitch. And because it wasn't limited to Florida. Again, this was something like Hyatt or Marriott. And he said, here's the brochure. You can stay at the Hyatt in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, in Sedona, Arizona. And Lydia and I looked at each other like, well, that's actually not too bad. It's like a Hyatt.
I'm not saying they're all inherently bad deals. Sure. Right. Some of them, you know, if you're going to be using them, they're good deals.
And it was nationwide. And so we looked at each other and like, well, that's not a bad idea. And he said, well, when can I get you to sign? Let's get you to sign right now. And we said, well, we think it's not a bad idea, but we're not just going to sign spur of the moment. We'd have to go look at bank statements. We'd have to look at, you know, and he said, all right, well, let me just get my manager and then I'll let you go. And then the manager comes over, like you said, for the one more push. And we said, nah, we're not ready to sign right now. And I said, okay, well, let me get my manager supervisor. And they did this 4 times where each one more person, and now it's just the exit interview. And they said, hey, I can't remember how it got to the final person, but it was, where did Billy go wrong? Let's say, why did Billy, you were going to sign, but then you weren't. I said, no, here's where you guys went wrong. Not Billy. I said, our first pitch guy was great. Where you guys went wrong is when I said, this is a really good pitch. Let us think about it. You gave us person after person, 3 people in a row saying, sign now. And when you did that, I said, fuck you, I'm never signing with you. Had you let me walk away and think about it, you may have gotten a client, but you pulled the whole, hey, get them to sign now or you will lose them forever. Maybe that works on some people, but with me, you turned me off and I will never sign with you. That's where you went wrong. And they just sort of were like, oh. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. You want people to sign right now, but when I say I'm done, I'm done. Give me the fucking Disney tickets. And they went, yeah, here they are. And then we went to Disney.
Well, no, and here's the thing is I'll actually kind of play devil's advocate and have the backs of those guys who came.
Oh, yeah. Most people are going to walk away if they
most people
to
are
going to
walk
it.
Away. And here's the thing. Even if you wanted to sign with them later, you would do the smart thing that most people do when buying any long-term thing like timeshare, whatever, any big investment purchase. You're going to fucking price it out, man. You would have gone online first. You would have looked for other options. You wouldn't have just gone, oh, let me call Billy back. You would have been like, I'm going to look at Billy's prices, but then I'm going to Google what? Nationwide timeshares and look at their prices. And
I'm going to Google the whatever chain we were at. Like, hey, what are people saying? Does it have all 5-star love it? Are there people saying they lied about the contract? I got upcharged these maintenance fees. I got there.
It's just that's what blew my mind the whole time. There were so many people down there selling these things. And I'm like, this is not an impulse buy. Who is a fucking timeshare an impulse buy for? But apparently there's people doing it. And I'm like, what do you, I mean, that would be, again, I've used the analogy of a car, but I guess it would be like if you went to go, I don't know, to the movies and you were like, hey, I'll give you a half price ticket if you let me try to sell you a house. Ever thought about a fixed rate mortgage? And it's like, what do you, I mean, if I was going to buy a house, I wouldn't do it at the fucking movie theater. right before I see, I don't know, Transformer 17 or whatever.
Well, I'm going to get really insulty here, and it's going to piss some people off. Two thoughts. One, they're capturing people in the moment. Now, getting people right off the plane, that seems a bit extreme. Getting people, we got approached about doing a timeshare in the Dominican Republic, we turned to town, but this happened like 2 days in. And in Cancun, it was a couple days in. And in Florida, we knew we were, but it's like, if you capture someone at the right moment, like, we've been here 3 days and it's time to go home. Wouldn't it be nice to say, hey, let's talk to you about coming back. That's where you grab them, not getting off the plane. But the other thing, and this is where I get insulty and mean, you and I have said this on the podcast, voting for Donald Trump in 2016, absolutely get it. Here's someone new. He's anti-government. He's not part of the system. He's throwing a grenade into the mix. Vote for him. I get it. But 2020 voting for Trump, wanting to support him in 2024, people are fucking stupid. Just flat out stupid. If they're down there like, Mexico's nice, sure, let's do this. I saw a report on timeshares in the past year. I think John Oliver did one. Yeah, they get suckered in because they're not thinking critically. People are dumber than you think.
I really like when John Oliver does obscure topics like that. You know,
yeah,
those are my favorite ones. When it's him sitting there going, did you know that everything Biden said is right and everything Trump said is wrong? Here's me saying that for 20 minutes. Like then it's like, all right, dude. Yeah. The big in the news topics, I get kind of bored with out of him because I'm like, well, he's just kind of towing a party line and I know what he's going to say. But yeah, I really like when he goes into something that's kind of off the beaten path like that. Because
it takes the subject and really breaks it down.
Yeah, anyone who's going to deceive you enough to just sort of trick you into listening to a pitch for a timeshare, there's going to be bullshit in that timeshare too, you know?
I can't believe I hadn't thought of it. The whole South Park episode where they go and the parents can't escape. And Stan and Marsha, I think it's Stan gets involved in a race there. They're making fun of like Hot Dog, the movie, and Ski Patrol. Is it Ski Patrol? I don't know. Like they make fun of all the 80s movies. South Park did an entire episode on timeshare.
I got to look it up and show it to Amy, man.
It's fucking great.
Amy bribed me. She was like, as soon as you get off the plane, there's going to be people swarming you. They're going to pretend you're with your hotel. Just don't make eye contact. Just don't say anything. Walk right through them, you know? And then did we get one at the fucking hotel? Like it was crazy. And don't get me wrong. Great hotel. Loved it the whole time. It was awesome. But yeah, watch out for those timeshare pitches.
Don't mention the hotel, though, because they're not paying us. They're not sponsoring us. If they had, then sure, we'd give their name. But fuck them. Right. Give us money. We'll sponsor them.
It's like I kind of trashed them a bit for the entire first part of this episode. So, shut up.
Hey, speaking of people and stupid, we got a comment a couple weeks ago that we should address, possibly.
Sure.
Idiots on Parade, episode 353. It was about student loan forgiveness. And we said that I made a comment that said everybody that's talking about student loan forgiveness being bad is that one of their go-to comments is, oh, if they got a real degree instead of one in gender studies, then and I said, that's within the last 5 years. People are saying that 20 years ago, gender study degrees were not a thing. I mean, they may have existed, but the comment is, gender studies have been around since the 70s, Nathan. And they also put an apostrophe on 70s, which, you know, shows where this person is coming from grammatically.
Yeah, there was no jobs you would get with that degree back then either. Like
exactly. So we talked about, this must have been the one, I don't remember exactly, but
thank God I got that gender studies degree in 1975. Now I can leave all this to my children and their children. We now have generational wealth from that gender studies degree from fucking Yale.
Well, let me read the full comment. Gender studies have been around since the 70s, Nathan. MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene, was pointing out that Hunter Biden broke the law by paying prostitutes to cross state borders. Just another instance of Biden family corruption. Talk about the Biden crime family. Do you have nothing to say about the millions being paid by foreign companies? Or Dementia Joe claiming he knew nothing about Hunter's overseas business deals? Pay to play. You're so disingenuous. So much to unpack there. First of all, if you want to talk about prostitutes crossing borders, I'm going to guess that this person gave prostitution is illegal everywhere. So I didn't know prostitutes crossing borders. I didn't know he was flying them places. He was just buying prostitutes. What do
he fucked an Arkansas whore in Mobile, Alabama? Federal prison for you, sir.
Lock him up. How much
you
do you want
Alabama to Alabama hookers in Alabama, and you fuck Arkansas hookers in Arkansas, you animal.
Like God intended. That's I'm going right. to go out on a limb here. Now, this is me judging, and if I'm wrong, I'm
going to gag on your dick with jet lag.
I am guessing inhumane. This person would give a full-throated defense to Matt Gaetz, the guy that was paying teenagers to fuck him and fly him around the country.
A little bit. Little
allegedly.
Bit. I'll bet he has no problem with, paying porn stars from out of state to not talk about encounters you had with him. I'll bet he's yes. got no opinions on that.
But another story got released. So it's the Biden crime family, Dementia Joe, all this. You and I have talked about this a million times. Did Hunter Biden use his name to sign contracts and make money? Yes, he did. Oh, yeah. You know who else did that? The Trump family. And you know who else did that? The child of every wealthy parent. That's what happens. Right. You trade on your family name. But when it comes to this whole the Biden crime family, the last week or 2 weeks ago, there was testimony where the Republicans are saying, this is it. We've got Hunter Biden in the crosshairs. He paid off his dad. Joe Biden would blah, 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 blah. Except then they released the transcripts. Hunter Biden's former business partners told lawmakers throughout nearly 5 hours of testimony early this week that nothing of importance was discussed. The 20 times he recalled then Vice President Joe Biden being placed on speakerphone during meetings with business partners, according to a full transcript of the closed door interview released by House Oversight Committee Republicans on Thursday. Republicans release these transcripts that shoot themselves in the foot, and yet they still scream Hunter Biden corruption. Did Hunter Biden trade on his name? Yes, he did. Absolutely 100%. Did he? I would love, you know who I want to interview? I want to interview the executives at Burisma and any other company Hunter Biden worked for, because I bet they're over there saying, we fucking paid for access to Joe Biden and didn't get it. We want our money back.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We paid for access to Joe Biden, and all we got was a stupid timeshare meeting with Hunter Biden where he fucking tricked me into buying a goddamn yurt in the middle of fucking Montana, that son of a bitch.
We paid for access to Joe Biden, Vice President Joe Biden, and all we got was Hunter Biden on coke talking about the prostitute he banged last night and drove across a state border.
That's right. That's right. And he tricks me into buying a timeshare while he was on fucking drugs, that son of a bitch.
And I bet I bet somewhere deep inside that even as a coked out drunk, Hunter knew that what he was doing, you know, he knew that he was trading on his family name. Okay. But that when he called his dad, if he said, you know, dad, hey, could you get a contract for his dad? Like, son, we can't do it. Like he knew that Joe would put the kibosh on it, because I don't have an article in front of me, but I full well remember that Biden, Joe, was pushing for an investigation into corruption in Burisma. And that's part of the reason they hired Hunter, is to try and, you know, have that quelled. But it didn't. They didn't quell it. Like, there was this investigation into Burisma and corruption in Ukraine.
Well, yeah. Look, that's why he said he sent him. He sent him. And this is why you're not going to find a lot of like heavy, you know, business dealings and tides between Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. When you get to the level of politics that Joe Biden's in, you get there by knowing everything about everyone around you. You know, yeah. You have people looking at it. He knows his son is a liability. Okay, he is, and I've made this point on here before, but since we got a comment, I'll kind of give the cliff notes. He knows he's the Fredo of the family. That's why he was in Ukraine and not Washington, D.C. or, you know, Pennsylvania. He was in Ukraine, but like back before the war and shit. He was in peacetime Ukraine because he did not want his son running around on fucking crack in D.C. or Pennsylvania, wherever, fucking things up here. He wanted him out of the way. This was the Don Vito Corleone sending Fredo to Las Vegas to fucking get him out of there.
Perfect example. Who thought Ukraine would become what it is?
What's up?
Who thought Ukraine would become what it is in the news? Like, it was the most out of the way, no one's going to talk about Ukraine place. Yeah.
And man, Hunter spent a lot of time there. Now that there's all this stuff going on, maybe we should send him back there for, now that there's stuff going on, he wants him nowhere near there. He's, but fucking hang out wherever, but like, don't go where there's cameras and people looking at you. I want you out of the way. Whatever you're doing, I don't want you doing it where people can see you. I want it in places where, you know, there's limited access and we can bribe whoever we need to bribe. So when you do that, you don't put a lot of fucking shit in writing between him and you, because the guy's a liability. He's a bit of a loose cannon. He's not even like a Don Jr. or an Eric Trump.
Yeah. I mean, he's your kid. You love him. You want him taken care of.
Yes.
But you want him out of sight.
Yeah. He's a rich kid. He's, you know, daddy's going to take care of him. But like, if he's a fuck up, if he's like, the movie Van Wilder, dad did not give him company secrets that he could have fucking ruined the company with. You understand? He paid for him to fucking go to and throw keggers and shit until he was in his early 30s. That is what the fuck. It was Ukrainian Van Wilder. That's what he was basically doing. So the fact that they think they're going to find all this stuff, like, no. This... And they don't want to have the actual talk about what's really wrong here. And that's nepotism, you know, but that doesn't start and end with Hunter Biden. That's very much on both sides of the aisle. Yeah, it's fucked up. That dude should have had to get a real job. It's going to happen to some level with Obama's daughters.
It already is. They one of them has a foot deep in Hollywood, wrote a screenplay, and it's getting optioned. It's like Meghan Markle and Prince Ginger, I think it is. I can't remember which one it is. Not the bald one, the other one. It's like they did not sign contracts with Netflix and Spotify because they were the most talented. It was because, you know, like, ooh, royalty. It's you trade on your name. This has nothing to do with anything. I did get to meet Tim Matheson once. Super nice dude. Love him.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
But the dad and Van Wilder, for people that don't know.
Damn, I don't, who is Tim Matheson?
The dad and Van Wilder, but more famously, Otter and Animal House.
Oh, Otter! No shit. Yeah. Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, because I honestly didn't even remember what the dad looked like in Van Wilder. I sometimes use references where I don't really remember the thing that well.
No, he was Eric Stratton. I can't remember. I said he was Otter in Animal House. Maybe that was his nickname, but it was Eric Stratton. Damn glad to meet you. And then the other, that was Eric Stratton, Rush chairman. Damn glad to meet you. He was damn glad to meet you. It was Eric Stratton, Rush chairman. But all right, we got time for one more story. Let's bang this out quick. I thought this was hilarious. Sent you the story. Ollie London says he's now, quote, living as Ken after detransitioning from, quote, Barbie look. Background, Ollie London rose to fame in 2018 after undergoing dozens of surgeries to resemble BTS member Jimin. BTS is a K-pop group. Last year, he apologized to the K-pop idol, and the Asian community for his, quote, overly obsessive behavior, and subsequently announced he was detransitioning from identifying as a Korean woman to a British man. Since then, he has spoken against, quote, woke culture, blaming it for his struggles with gender dysphoria and physical appearance. Fuck you. Oh my God.
I love it.
You are batshit crazy. Jake, in the past, on this program, has made fun of therapy and therapists, but oh my God, if there is anyone in their life that needs therapy, it is this dude. When he was going under another name, his best friend, Aaliyah Rosa, has spent millions over the years to live her life as a real life Barbie. And so we attended the Cannes Film Festival last year's Barbie. I love how he's detransitioning from Barbie, who isn't a woman, it's just a plastic doll, to become a man. You need to Google this article, viewers and listeners, and just, this guy is batshit crazy. And he's blaming woke culture for the fact that he had surgeries to look like first Barbie, then a K-pop star, and now Ken. That's not woke culture. You got fucking issues you need to deal with.
Well, I love that he's sitting there going, woke culture convinced me to transition into something I'm not. All right. They tricked me with all their you can be anything bullshit. And they convinced me that I was a petite Korean woman named Kim Yi. Now I've seen past woke culture's lies. I'm Ken from Barbie, a different fictional character. Like what? What do you? It's not.
If anything,
I'm just regular old Larry. Like no. He didn't transition to a guy named Larry in trade school. He transitioned to a fictional doll. Okay, so whatever. If it's woke culture, you've still got a little bit in you. You still need to cleanse a little bit more out because you're transitioning to a fictional character with no genitals from a movie.
It's a movie now, but it used to. Okay, call me crazy. Am I remembering this incorrectly, Jake? Call me out if I am. Commenters, listeners, comment if I. Didn't woke culture slam the shit out of Rachel Dolezal when she said, actually, I'm a black woman. I identify as a black woman. So if you're saying woke culture made you want to identify as a petite Korean woman.
Yeah, they get mad about that.
Yeah, that's not something they tend to push. They're not out there saying, you know, be what you want. They would call that, woke culture would call that what? Cultural appropriation. That's the side woke culture comes down on. If you try and be something out of your zone, they get angry at you.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And I like that he's talking about woke culture. Like he's this right-wing guy. Like he's this socially conservative guy. It's like, you still pricked a pretty gay character to transition to, man. How are you going to get all fucking Pat Robertson on me with this bullshit? You didn't transition to G.I. Joe. You transitioned to Ken. What are you doing?
Yeah. That's fucking funny. Yeah, he's like Caitlyn Jenner, who everyone said, oh my goodness, Caitlyn is the most empowered woman in the world. And then a couple of years later, like, oh, right, still an asshole. Still a Ted Cruz supporting supposed constitutionalist asshole who votes against the betterment of all because asshole.
Dude, my favorite thing that Caitlyn Jenner did is she retweeted an article or something.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
Yeah, about Bud Light's stock price going down and said, go woke, go broke. It's like, really, Caitlyn? Is it more or less woke than Vanity Fair? What the
fuck? Woman of the year, Caitlyn Jenner.
What are you talking about right now? This is, they did the same thing that people did when you transitioned. Are you kidding me?
Yes, yes, yes. All right. Find Jake on all these social platforms at Jake Vevra, the symbol at Jake Vevra. Find me everywhere at Nathan Timmel, and or you can visit NathanTimmel.com. And maybe if I remember, next week we can talk about Bud Light because it was funny. I sent you an article. We're out of time. But Ron DeSantis was talking about suing Bud Light for not taking care of the stuff. He's like, they do something, the Ron DeSantis blows up. How dare Bud Light? We need to boycott them. Their stock price tanks. And he's like, now we need to sue them for not looking out for their stockholders. Like, wait, you are fully in charge of what happened. Either way, we got to sign off.
What happens when the stock price dips? Didn't that already happen? What the fuck are you even talking about?
Exactly. All right. Goodbye, all.
Later.